Mr. Chairman, venerable members of the Mahasangha, dear young friends, thank you very much for having invited me to attend this conference and to give a talk on challenges to Buddhism. I also like to express my sincere thanks and gratitude for organizing this seminar in conjunction with my 80th birthday. People say I am 8 years old, but I am not sure. However, still I had the courage to climb the steps to attend this conference. Doctors come, you know, they will scold you, not me. Challenges to Buddhism started during the Buddha's time, because Swami Vivekananda, one of the brilliant Hindu Swami, who died nearly 100 years ago, has written, the Buddha was a rebellious child of Hinduism, because the Buddha has revolutionized the religious way of life completely in India. Mr. Nehru, the former Prime Minister of India, has written this in his book, Discovery of India. He says, I really cannot understand what kind of knowledge and courage the Buddha had to oust a few thousand years old religious traditions and customs and practices and India. What happened? Having seen how people practice religion in that country by praying and worshipping to 3 million gods, the Buddha wanted to release us from religious slavery. That is the main purpose. Again, he wanted to release us, self-torturing, burning, cutting, starving, in the name of religion, thinking that they will be able to overcome the sins or the bad karma committed by them. Again, he wanted to release those poor animals that they sacrificed in thousands in the name of God. Again, he wanted to release those human beings who were ousted as low caste without allowing them to enter into places of worship and practice a religion. He also wanted to give freedom to women who were not allowed to enter into a place of worship and never practice a religion. Duty of a woman, they say, is to look after her children and attend to her husband. Having seen all these practices and beliefs, the Buddha wanted to open the gates to enter a religious order, a religious way of life, to each and every human being, irrespective of their caste or class or race. Because of that, all the other existing religions wanted to challenge. They have planned to kill him, accused, blamed, ridiculed the Buddhist way of life, and threatened him. However, later, people came to know what the Buddha wanted to do was correct. Then, during Emperor Asoka's time, what they have done, many Brahmins, Hindus, entered into the holy order as monks and tried to introduce Hindu, Brahmin traditions and beliefs as Buddhist practices. When they came to know that, they discussed with Emperor Asoka and organized the third Buddhist council and discarded all the new concepts and beliefs and practices that they wanted to incorporate into Buddhism. Again, they tried to swallow Buddhism by introducing him as an incarnation of their God. Today, every Hindu pay homage to the Buddha, saying Buddha is the incarnation of our God. Then the name of Buddhism is it. There is another important point we have to consider. When foreigners invaded India and destroyed all the other places of worship and libraries, temples, and the priests and the monks completely destroyed. After a few years' time, Hindus, Jainas, or Brahmins had the opportunity to come and to develop, introduce, practice their religion. Buddhism completely disappeared from India. Now this is a very important point. What is the reason? Hindus and Jainas and Brahmins had the chance to come up. Buddhism completely disappeared. The reason is Buddhist leaders, Buddhist scholars, Buddhist monks did not try to introduce Buddhism for ordinary people to practice in their day-to-day life. They were arguing, discussing on hair splitting, religious issues, but they have nothing to do with ordinary people. They cannot understand what they discuss. Today, all the other religions, Hinduism, Christianity, Islam, Jainism, they cannot forget their religion on three important occasions: birth, marriage, and death. After giving birth, either they had to baptize or get the blessing from their religion. They cannot perform their marriage or wedding ceremony without any religious service or blessing. They cannot perform funeral rites without religious service. Buddhists have not introduced any of those practices for the public to remember their religion. Even today, many people never think after giving birth that this child must get some blessing from our religion. They perform their marriages. They never remember their religion at that time. But they are Buddhists. Funeral rites, of course, because of fear, thinking that departed person may come back and catch their neck. They invite some monks or priests or somebody to go and do some chanting or beating drums and blowing trumpets to chase away the devil and ghost and spirit only for that purpose. They spend thousands of dollars for that. Besides that, they never remember that they have a religion, they have obligations, they have duties to perform. So very easily they can forget their religion. Now let us take Muslims. 5 times a day, they must pray. The meaning is to remember that they have a religion. But we have many Buddhists. They are called Vesak Buddhists. When he asks whether they are Buddhists, Vesak, we visit them. This is the nature of our Buddhist community. Still, that awakening is not completed. We are very grateful to Young Buddhist Associations of Malaysia for creating some sort of awakening amongst the younger generation. Otherwise, Buddhism can become a dying religion in this country. I think all of you know, Malaysia was a Buddhist country up to 14th century. Islam started from Malacca. Sultan of Malacca's embraced Islam. From that day onward, all over the country accepted Islam and the whole country became a Muslim nation. Later, when Chinese started to migrate, the 19th century and 20th century, wherever they go, they never forget their culture and their religion. So they started Buddhist way of life again here in this country. Today, when you take the statistic, 18% many years ago, but today I do not know how many percent. 98% Buddhists belong to Chinese in this country. Therefore, you have some responsibilities, bounden duties to maintain this noble religion that your forefathers have accepted nearly 2,000 years ago. Why? At that time in China, they knew, although they had religious belief and practices and philosophy, certain things are missing. Take for instance, when Confucius was asked whether there will be another life hereafter, after our death, he said, still we have not learned what this life is. How do we know whether there will be another life? That was the belief at that time in China. Another person asked, is there anything that we can do for our departed ones? Then he says, we are not doing our duties towards the living one. How can we serve the dead one, departed one? So, by knowing something is missing there, they have taken so much of troubles and pains and difficulties to go to India, stay there for many years, study languages, Buddhism, come back and introduce. Then they had a clear picture of rebirth and cause and effect for karma. They have learned from Buddhism. After that, Chinese culture and Buddhism combined together. They have chosen Buddhism, although Hinduism, Jainism or Brahminism were very active in India at that time. They have chosen only Buddhism. That means Chinese know how to choose. Why they have chosen Buddhism? They knew Buddhism is a universal religion. People can practice in any part of the world. By giving due respect to their own culture, their way of life, and to practice Buddhism. But to practice Hinduism, or Jainism, or Brahminism, they had to follow Indian tradition, Indian customs, Indian way of life. Otherwise, they cannot practice that religion. So they knew. It is not necessary for Chinese to become Indians to practice Buddhism. They can stand as Chinese. They can give due respect to their culture, their way of life, and practice Buddhism. If Chinese have not accepted Buddhism, Buddhism never become a world religion. Therefore, they introduced from China to Korea, Korea to Japan, then other parts of the world. So what is happening today? Recently, I have read in the newspaper, population, the statistic Today, there are 1.6 billion Christians in this world. 1 billion Muslims. 800 million Hindus. 350 million Buddhists. So Buddhism has come at the last time. 1950, according to the statistic they have taken at that time, Buddhist population all over the world, 555 million. Today, they say only 350 million. What is the reason? The reason is they have dropped China. They have dropped Vietnam. In the Western countries, they have taken the whole population. But today, if you go and observe, in Italy, 40%. In England, 20%. In France, 40%. In America, 40% Christians. But they want to show all are Christians. However, the Buddhist population percentage in Asian countries definitely dropping. 20 years ago, Buddhist population in Malaysia, 18%. 10 years after, they found out, drop. 20 years ago, 20% Buddhist. 10 years after that, dropped to 18%. And today, if you take a real statistic, I'm sure that dropped to 15%. Every day, we are dropping and dropping and dropping to Christians and Muslims or free thinkers. Singapore. 25 years ago, Buddhist population was 70%. Today, 37%. In Sri Lanka, when we were there, Buddhist population 80%. Today, dropped to 65%. Korea, when I visited that country 25 years ago, Christian population was 5%. Today, 45% Christian. Now you can understand what is happening to Buddhism, Buddhist countries. Who are responsible for this? Simply, we cannot blame other religions or missionaries. We are not doing our duty to uphold, to maintain this gentle religion. Even non-Buddhists also introduce this as a gentle religion. Why it is gentle? A Buddhist never disturbs the followers of another religion and never condemn them as sinners or saying they go to hell. We allow them to practice their own religion. We never think that they go to hell just because they are not Buddhist. We practice our own religion. Therefore, people say this is a gentle religion. But others cannot do that. They say, if we do not accept their religion, we go to hell. We are sinners. In my latest book, I mentioned, those who say that others are sinners are the real sinners. Because they condemn others. Now, allegation. To condemn Buddhism, especially among the younger generation. What they say, Buddha is not a god, he's a man, he's dead and gone. why do you want to worship and pray? How can he bless you? How can he save you? You do that the words. There is that. Yala. Because parents never take the trouble to teach their religion, their children, by giving religious education. Parents want their children to follow their age-old tradition, which educated children cannot accept, cannot agree. By force, they cannot ask young people to come and practice their religion. Therefore, we had to blame the parents. Every school, every university, including kindergarten, there are missionaries. I have seen a small kid in kindergarten doing missionary work. If they were trained, they say, you know, Jesus is very good. He can bless you. He can protect you. You can study very well. And you can grow up and you can have a very good future if you pray to Jesus, small kids. And the Buddhist children don't know what to say. In the schools and colleges and universities, there are certain students dedicated their life to influence others, to drag others into their religion. They get full support from their respective churches. The students are very active missionaries. They know how to drag other young boys and girls, take out, entertain, brainwashing, then change them. Parents cannot control. When their children are in trouble, then father and mother come and say, please pray for my child. He is going to become a Christian. But they have not done their duty toward their children to bring up their religious way of life. Then, what is the answer to that question? Buddha is not a god, he is a man, he cannot save. All these allegations are wrong. Why? The Buddha has said, I am not a god, I am not an angel, I am not an ordinary man, I am the Buddha. Therefore, that allegation is wrong. Buddha is a man, he is dead and gone. The Buddha cannot die. Mahayana Buddhism very clearly explained. The Buddha has three kayas, three bodies. Sambhoga kaya, nirmana kaya, dharma kaya. By introducing in this way, they protected Buddhism. Otherwise people can understand what to do when after the death of the Buddha. But the Buddha cannot die. Mind cannot die. Life cannot die. Physical body dies. So, the body that he used for eating, sleeping, walking, now that body died. And the body that he used for preaching also died. But the dharma body, dharma kaya of the Buddha never died. The Buddha existed. In another place, Anguttara Nikaya, the Buddha says, whether the Buddhas appear or not, the dharma exists in this world. From time to time, when they appear as Buddha, they reveal the dharma that people have forgotten. The dharma body of the Buddha exists. Therefore, no one can say Buddha is dead and gone. Third reason, the Buddha says, one person cannot give salvation to another person. God or the Buddha or anybody. We cannot take our salvation from the Buddha, from a god. Tumhe hi kichchang atavvang akkhadaro tathagata. he also says, as Buddha, I can tell you what to do and what not to do. It is up to you to accept and practice and find out your salvation. You cannot get the salvation from a god or from Buddha. Take for instance, when you are sick, you go to a doctor. He gives prescription or some medicine. You don't want to take this medicine. You go and worship that doctor. Pray three times a day. And he's a very good doctor, very clever doctor. He's a specialist. Do you think you can get cure your sicknesses through that doctor simply by talking and worshiping without taking that medicine? Now that is why the Buddha says, I can tell you what to do and what not to do, but I cannot give you salvation. And nobody else can give this salvation. Therefore, all these allegations are wrong, but you do not know how to answer. Then, every Muslim, every Christian is a missionary. They always think and plan how to drag another person into their area, the place where they work, and the society, in the schools or universities, colleges. Their idea is to drag another person. The Buddhists never think that they want to influence another person. It is to know what Buddhism is. They have no subject. They keep quiet. They practice their religion individually. So Buddhism is individualism. You practice your Buddhism, I practice my Buddhism. Now that is our Buddhism. But others are not. One day when I was traveling by a taxi driver was a Muslim. He started to preach Islam. Preaching and preaching, in the end, he said, you know, it is so advanced. One who become a Muslim can have four wives. Then I told you, it is too late for me. No point of preaching. Can you imagine a taxi driver preaching to me, influence me to become a Muslim? Christians also like this. But our Buddhists are keeping quiet. They become their victims very easily. Another thing. When a person is going to die in the hospital, what they do? They go and tell. Although you have committed sins, if you accept God and believe God, He will forgive all your sins and send you to heaven. Must be converted. They accept. That culprit who have committed violence, bloodshed, so cruel, so wicked, all his victims are still suffering. But God come at the last moment to wash away the sins of the culprit and send him to heaven. People believe this. All his victims are suffering. God cannot see that they are suffering. No God to save them, protect them. Their idea is, they are aiming not only this dying man, something else. After that, they approach their family members.